It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the man who heads the Marion County. Yes, right. When you get my age, you forget what day it is.
That's all right. I do that sometimes too.
Yeah, well, it's easy. Yeah, and now my question too. I've got this ticket to give away to the Ridgedale Lions Club. Now, if you're really interested in going to this Ridgedale 18th Annual 2020 Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR Dinner and Auction, February 15th, dinner at 5, auction following. If you're really interested in that and you come up with the answer that I asked for, name the eye chart that an optometrist uses. They were invented by one man. Now, if you can tell me that, why, I'll give you this. If you want really are interested in NASCAR and the Ridgedale Lions Club, you know, they put this on every year, and it's really great. 7403-39944. But in the meantime, and between time, James Anderson. James, we've been talking about things that happen, too, when we have the ups and downs in temperatures in the wintertime, like we're having. Yeah. Now, what, again, is this creating distress among our, not rodents, but most of our animals out there?
Yeah, especially for reptiles and amphibians. They're the ones that are probably getting hit hard the most, because you got to remember they're cold-blooded, which means that, you know, they depend on the outside temperature. That's what they're going to be.
Okay.
And so when we get this warm snap and they're thinking, oh, hey, it's spring. Well, we're technically winter. But then next thing you know, it gets cold the next day. I mean, it takes a lot of energy to go into that hibernational state.
Okay. And that energy is needed, too, if they're going to avoid a warm-up or whatever. If they can't lose that energy to get back to their normal place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, when we're doing it back and forth and back and forth, it just creates a lot of stress for these wildlife.
So. And it creates stress for humans.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw on television this morning that some of the schools are closed in parts of Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an outbreak of flu or just colds, but it's happening with the up and down weather. And every time we have this, it goes that way. And yeah, you'll see a lot of schools having to sanitize everything and try to get rid of the germs.
Yeah.
If it's possible. Or we could wear masks like the Chinese do, or yeah, Japanese.
Yeah.
I wonder if that, I suppose it really helps. But a lot of this stuff is passed on through breath. Breathing something somebody else has already breathed. What about animals? Can humans catch anything from animals?
I mean, there are a lot of different kinds of zoonotic diseases, and if you're not familiar, zoonotics are diseases that can be transferred from animals to people, the people to animals.
Oh, really? Tell me, what are one of the diseases?
Parasites are probably a big one, so thing like tapeworms, lungworms, things like that. So,
and please.
Please.
Yeah.
So when an animal has these parasites in their bodies, and obviously when they go to the bathroom, that's into the ground. What if you got like a small child, or if you're working in the groundwork and you're picking up that dirt and you accidentally touch your face or whatever, and that's how you can ingest these parasites.
My, yes. And now tapeworms, they can be quite invasive in, or quite large in size, can't they?
Oh, they can get several feet long.
Yeah, I can't imagine a human living with a worm inside them like that.
Well, it's funny you said that. When I was with Rio Grande, one of our classes, we had to do necropsy, which is an animal autopsy. Our professor brought in coyotes and rabbits, and we on our table had a rabbit, and we pulled out, I want to say it was like 6 or 9 feet long tapeworm.
No kidding.
Out of his digestive tract.
Oh, my land.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get all one single string. Yeah. It broke in several sections.
Is there any chance of, say, young people getting tapeworms by habits of some kind?
How do you acquire them? It's possible. Again, the typical case is, again, the animal goes to the bathroom. Again, either a toddler, or if you're working into the ground, and then you pick that up, and then I'm not saying the poop, but it could be in the ground,
sure,
and you could pick it up that way.
Isn't that something?
Sometimes, you know, the parasites can move on to foods or what, and you can ingest it that way.
So you've got to acquire the parasite rather than it coming from anything you eat.
Yeah, and of course there's always some, like in meats or what, that, you know, some people accidentally do, and especially if they don't cook their food.
Yeah. Well, I eat a lot of sushi.
Oh, do you?
Well, I don't know. I've acquired a taste for it, and it's so good.
It's interesting. I've had it a couple times.
Yeah, and one of the supermarket, Aldi's, got in a shipment last week, and we bought a bunch of it.
Oh, did you?
I'm the only one that eats it at home.
Oh, do you?
But it is, there's two different varieties, and it is so good.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of people curl up. Well, when you think of a filleted fish, you just don't eat a filleted fish.
Yeah.
I mean, you doctor it up and
surround
it with rice or seaweed or something like that. But it's amazing. Now, I don't know if that could bring about any harm, probably not.
You know, there's always a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean,
mercury and all that they talk about.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of our things about, you know, at Foundation Lake, one of our rules on our sign is no swimming. And I've had a couple people saying, "Oh, why do you do that?" Well, it's just our beavers. Of course, a lot of they think, "Oh, are the beavers going to attack me?" I said, "No, not necessarily. I said, just beavers carry parasites.
Yes,
and they carry certain bacteria. And there's an actual illness, and I forget the technical name. But,
no kidding.
But you can really get what's called the beaver fever."
Oh, really? So, I never heard. Oh,
so I laughed at people. I said, "Well, wouldn't that be fun if you contracted that and you lived, and you can get a T-shirt that said, 'I survived the beaver fever.'"
I guess. Oh, yeah, really, beaver and as. As I see people swimming in ponds and lakes and everything else, I think that, you know, even swimming in the ocean has its drawbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that's why some of the resorts along the ocean have swimming pools.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, regulating the quality of a swimming pool water or something else.
Yeah, that's a science.
You can overdo it or underdo it.
Yep.
Wow.
That you can.
It's amazing. The things that are all around us but drive you nuts if you only concentrated and knew what all's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But, okay, now swimming in a lake, like you said, subjects you to all kinds of parasitic activity then.
It can, yep.
Wow. It's amazing. 11:19's the time. Now, going back once again, I've got this Ridgedale ticket to give away today to anyone that can tell me the name of the eye chart, the man who invented the eye chart, when you go to the optometrist. And there might be some people right now sitting in an optimist chair listening to me and looking at that eye chart on the wall. And I bet even the optometrist doesn't know the inventor.
That's true.
Okay. All right. 7403-39944. All right. My guest today is James Anderson, who heads up the Marion County Park District, doing a mighty fine job, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
And so many activities now have. Well, this bird club now, the Marion County Bird Club.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big thing happening, isn't it?
Yeah. Right now, it's just an online group. But,
is that right?
But yeah, Cam Lee. He's one of the people who created it. We've been talking about it. Maybe in the near future, we might actually create an actual bird club.
Oh, okay.
But we're, you know, kind of working out the logistics. But yeah, it's always very interesting because we love talking about the birds in Marion, and we also include killdeer. Killdeer is technically Wyandotte County, but you know it's relatively close. Yeah, so, it's just pretty fun just to talk about what things we're seeing and hearing.
Yeah, I often remember. Years and years and years ago, there was one area, and Ed Lux taught me this, where they, among some pine trees, there were saw-whet owls.
Oh, yeah, yep, they're at killdeer. Yeah.
And a lot of people would go up there just to find the saw-whet owls.
Yes.
And they're tame, more or less. You get right up, look them right in the eye.
They're cute little owls.
Yeah, little tiny things.
And the long-eared owls are very common up there at killdeer during the winter.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Now, do the saw-whet owls have any sound to them?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. Saw-whet and the barred owls, they...
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a recording of a barred owl, but yeah, you can bring them up on the internet, that's for sure. Yeah.
Maybe after break, I'll put it up on my phone.
Hey, that's good. Okay, 11:22 right now. What's your next activity coming up at the Tallgrass Trail?
All right. Do you want me to go ahead and just go over the calendar?
Well, we could, yeah. Then we'll review it again before you go.
All right. Sounds good. So I guess this Sunday is our next activity. We'll be with the Groundhog Day event at the WMRN station, 7 to 8 a.m. Buckeye Chuck will be giving his prediction at 7:40 a.m. We'll be doing Facebook Live, so if you can't come out, I'll be either myself or somebody else.
Oh, really?
Have it on the phone, and so you can watch it on there. So
okay,
we'll see.
What will we bring up?
Type in on Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Okay.
And probably about 7:35 or so, have the Facebook Live.
Which is the official sunrise time.
Yes, right? Yes.
Yeah.
On the 3rd, I'm doing a groundhog program at the Tallgrass Trail starting at 5:30. So if you want to just learn more about groundhogs, just come on out. The 8th, we'll be doing our sweetheart hike at the trail from 1 to 4 p.m. It's a come-as-you-go hike, and we'll be doing a guided nature tour starting at 1:30. We'll have refreshments, chili. One of our board members, her husband,
no
makes chili. So, yeah, come on.
Well, now that's decent. So what will you explain on that walk?
Anything we encounter. So,
okay.
So like last or this month at the polar hike, we talked from plants to animals that like we saw the garter snake and the frogs.
Oh,
so,
okay, yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be that warm, but if we see them or hear them, we'll talk about them again.
Have you heard the date for the trail down at Old Man's Cave?
Oh, the winter hike.
Yeah, winter hike.
They already had that.
Oh, they did.
They did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
it was the same day, I think, as our polar hike.
I see. Okay. So I remember Ed Lux and I went on that trail. Boy, that was when we were a lot younger.
Yeah.
And we had cornbread and beans half the way.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So you'll have chili out here.
That's right. We'll have chili.
Well, that's nice. Is that, what's her name?
Janine Williams. Yep,
yeah,
she's
okay.
Been on here with you. So.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, I've dealt with her... over the years, in fact, she had after I had a heart attack, she had a fundraiser for me.
Oh, she did?
That was many years ago.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask her
about
that.
Janine Williams, yeah. And she was in the bike club.
Oh, okay.
And I used to be active in that. And, great. Awesome. Boy, that sounds really good to have some chili. How far would you walk before you got to the chili dispenser?
Well, the chili will be at the building.
Oh, okay.
There at the trailhead. So for my guided nature tour, we usually just go out about the 1 mile marker and back. So when we do around the loop, around the lake, it's about close to about 2.5 miles.
Okay. Now, when will that take place again?
That'll be February 8th.
February 8th. Okay.
Yep, from 1 to 4.
And maybe it'll still be halfway warm then.
That's right.
The confusing winter... with us all, my land.
That's right. February 10th, we'll have Looking for Owls at Tallgrass Trail at 5:30 p.m. So we'll have a speaker and all, and we'll try to call them in. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, right. Do you anticipate ever being able to call in or listen for bats? Is it bats or at night?
Oh yeah, but not this time of year, but during the summertime.
Okay. But you would need
it's called an echolocator.
Yes, right, an echolocator.
I've used one of them. Yeah, they work pretty good.
Okay. Do you have funds to buy one, or do you have one already?
I have a friend that has one, but I might buy one myself.
Yeah, so. Well, that would be good, yeah. And like I think I told you a few years ago, maybe, or months, I went on one of those hikes over at Mount Vernon at the Kenyon College.
Oh, okay.
And we hiked all night and didn't hear a single bat.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was fun anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11:27 is the time. Now, again, my question today to get this ticket to the Ridgedale Lions Club is name the eye chart that all optometrists use. And I think it's probably the same eye chart that everyone has. And if you can name the originator of that, why, I'll give you, if you really want to go to the Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction, February 15th, dinner at 5, auction follows that, doors open at 4, and the location for that is out toward the, well, toward the Tallgrass Trail area.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's on 309 before you get to Big Island.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Now, have you seen many, I was going to say, red-bellied woodpeckers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've
really?
Seen several of those. Yep, and flickers.
Okay. Good. Oh, flickers, yeah.
Yeah.
That's something else that I remember seeing maybe one of over the years, but you got to really look. You got to know what you're seeing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's a big thing. When I see some of those pictures on the internet taken at the Tallgrass Trail, I think,
what is that?
Yeah, right. What is that? And now, are any of those pictures from maybe in warmer months?
Oh, yeah. We have people from all year long. They'll take pictures.
Okay. So it's a mighty good place to get a good camera. I don't know. What types of cameras are people using?
Nikon or Canon. Those are like the two big
the
brands.
The ones with the long lenses?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, you can buy ones like the Canon Nikons like mine. You can exchange lenses
okay.
in different sizes.
Is there, I'm sure there is a lot of difference between them
yes.
and a smartphone.
Yeah, now your smartphone won't be able to get any long-distance pictures.
Oh,
they're
okay.
only designed for short distance.
Now, how do you transfer a smartphone picture to a printer?
To a printer, you would just, what I would do is I would email them to my email account.
Yeah.
And then I can download them from my my computer, and then I can connect it to the printer.
Oh, okay, yeah, because that's a big thing. We store all these
Scott,
pictures.
Did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. James Anderson, all right, Marion County Park District. He's the guy. Okay, now, I've talked to James for a long time about the spotted lanternfly. Berks County, Pennsylvania, seemed to be the place where they had gathered in large numbers, covered trees. I actually saw pictures of them burning them off the trees with a blowtorch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that thick.
Wow.
Wow. And now, okay, now that was east of here, about 500 miles from where we're speaking right now. Is there any danger of those coming this way?
Unfortunately, I think so.
Oh.
I sent you a thing on Facebook. They spotted one about 15 miles away from the Ohio border.
Oh, my.
They're on the
close.
By Pennsylvania. So I think, unfortunately, they already could be here. We just haven't found them yet.
A lot of people aren't familiar with what they look like either.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy. And that could destroy an orchard. Couldn't it if they were thick enough?
Probably. And you know what's funny? I didn't even hear about it until you start mentioning about it. So I always thank you for I guess, opening that subject.
Hey, we have a caller here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Morning, Charlie.
Yes.
How you doing? Hey, a little bit ago you guys were talking about groundhogs and all. What do you think about over in Pennsylvania when they want to get rid of the groundhog and go to the mechanical one?
Yeah, I talked about that, how they want to use a robot instead of punctuating.
Oh, yeah, I didn't quite hear all of it. Yeah,
yeah. Right. They want to use the PETA organization, not the people that have the groundhog.
Right, yeah, it's a PETA, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder how long it's going to be before they hit this place.
Well, that's what I wonder, too.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Well, I hope not, too, because that may stop a lot of people from coming out.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
it's
automatic.
Stop the whole thing, yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, all right. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's the way it goes. Once again, I got the Ridgedale Lions Club dinner, and the 18th annual. This has been going on for a long time. Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction, Saturday, February 15th, and just signed a Big Island. And if you could tell me the name of the man that invented the eye chart that the optometrists are using. In fact, you might be in one of their offices right now staring at one of those charts. And nobody ever thought of, I don't think anyone ever thought of trying to find out where those thoughts or charts come from.
Yeah, I never.
And how would somebody invent one? Oh, my. Well, anyhow, continuing on with the activities at the Tallgrass Trail, we got underway with the, what was the last activity?
Owls.
Yeah. The what?
About owls. Owls of
owls,
Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll continue on. When's your after that?
Next one will be on February 17th. We'll be doing a bird watching program at the trail, but starting at the Epsifield Baptist Church at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And they've got a parking lot, right?
Yeah, they have a parking lot. So, on the 20th, we'll have our board meeting at the county building downstairs in the Prospect Meeting Room starting at noon. Later on, I'll be doing a Oh Deer program at the Tallgrass Trail starting at 5:30. So this will be a great way to learn about white-tailed deer. On the 24th, I will be doing a Let's Find Winter's Bird's Nest on the trail.
Yep. That's different.
Yeah, because since this time of year, since the leaves are gone, it's really easy to spot a lot of the variety of nests.
But where does a bird go when he's not in his nest?
They're either migrated down south or they're using other facilities. See, bird nests are not there to be a permanent structure. They're just there to raise their young.
Okay, yeah.
Now, bald eagles, ospreys, those are kind of your exceptions. You know, they'll use those nests all the time, rather
so
young
big
or not.
To build, and all the stuff it takes to build an osprey nest, or better yet, for the eagle, the bald eagle. Man, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but your other nests, typically the birds are not staying in there. So,
like one of the, and I don't know if I've ever seen one or not, a hummingbird nest.
Oh, yeah, we've found a couple at the trail.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're really tiny.
Oh.
And they're made of, a lot of times they'll use mosses or lichens.
Oh, really?
As their material.
Oh, is it possible they use, not spider webs?
Oh, sometimes they'll use spider silk to kind of make a foundation.
Okay. Yeah. But that's quite a process. Now we feed those birds,
the hummingbirds. Yeah,
yeah, and all year long. Well, yeah, all year. No, during the season they're up here.
Yep, about middle of May. That's when they'll be back in Marion, typically.
Yeah, and they got that hum.
Yep.
When, boy, I tell you, they hate each other.
Oh, they are very territorial. Oh, you know, they look cute and cuddly, but boy, they don't even like their own kind. And sometimes always people say, oh, it's the males. And I say, no, I've seen females that have been aggressive.
Oh, boy.
That fight off even males.
You come in, and if there's one at the feeder, you hear this room.
Yep. And then you see them fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen
that. Oh, boy. And so, okay, right now, I haven't seen any, well, maybe one, Junco.
Okay.
And usually they're all over our yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are picking up the pieces off the ground.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. But now you say there are Juncos out your
way? Yes, yeah, I see them quite often at Tallgrass Trail.
And the correct name is what, slate color or what?
I mean, the problem with Juncos, they can come in different varieties.
Okay.
But yeah, they have that really dark, yeah, kind of gray slate color and then kind of a pale pink bill.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting color.
Oh, really? Okay. Is it a kind of a whitish bib?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. The good old Junco and manage to pick up everything that you drop.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. They're, I just haven't seen them. Now, Cardinals, I've seen a lot of them this winter.
Oh, yeah. And coming up this month is their breeding season.
Oh, is that right?
So you'll definitely hear that pretty sound, that birdie, 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 pretty girl,
yes,
pretty girl.
Yes.
That's obviously the male doing his territorial call, calling females. And this is the time, too, that you'll hear a lot of reports of cardinals attacking windows, rather on your house. I've seen cars they've attacked because they see the reflection. They think it's another male. They're like, hey, get out of my territory.
Yeah.
Well, then, especially when like your house windows, they collide and they hit so hard, they snap their necks.
Yeah. I remember when Ed Lux and I went out some of our first bird hunts, a friend of ours had an A-shaped, what do you call that shape?
Like a teepee?
Triangular. Oh, what do they call those? Well, anyhow, it's mostly window.
Okay.
And he had a problem with birds colliding with his window.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my land. So they put up streamers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, kind of chase them away, yeah.
I tell people put decals sometimes.
Yeah.
Brightly colored decals.
Right.
Now, it will kind of distress the bird, like coming really close to your window, but hey, during that breeding season, we don't want to have the males end up killing themselves.
Well, yeah. Almost a common sound around our living room is ka-thunk, ka-thunk.
Yeah.
As the birds hit our big picture window.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And they can break their neck, I suppose, can't they?
Yeah, they can go. I've seen bluebirds, I've seen finches and cardinals doing that.
Okay. What about, I've seen here lately, I've looked especially for kestrels, and I've seen several.
Oh, yeah. Around wires.
Yeah, they're so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you really look closely at them, they're multicolored, but boy, they usually fly away. If you're on a bicycle or what, you can't get close to them.
Yep, Big Island, Tallgrass Trail, they would be very common to see them.
Well, that's good, yeah.
I call them the miniature falcons.
All right. Yeah. Now, what about the bluebirds? Do you have any bluebirds?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Especially around Her Road, I usually hear and see them a lot.
Really?
Paradise, I was just there the other day, and there was a bunch of them flying in. So.
Yeah. Paradise, that's a natural area, that's
for
sure.
Yeah.
Well, things fall down, and that's where they are until...
Yeah. Yep, seems like it.
Oh, my goodness. Once again, I would like to give away this Ridgedale... Lions Club ticket, and that's the 18th annual Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction, Saturday, February 15th. And I've got one ticket to give away for that. I've had one ticket most every day, and maybe today is your turn. Maybe you would like this ticket. Are you interested in NASCAR? If you are, tell me the name of the man who invented the eye chart. And that's all you need to do, 740-383-9944. Or if there is something about birds and wildlife you'd like to learn more about, now is your opportunity with James Anderson. In fact, James will be back next month.
That's right.
And we ought to go over that date right now.
That's right, so we don't get on the wrong day.
Right, yes.
I'm glad you emailed me that.
Yeah, right. Oh, my.
So that would be the 27th of February.
Okay, February 27th. Oh, yeah, well, look at that. I've got it written down already.
That's good. That's good.
I must have kicked myself. Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad I had your daughter's contact information, because that was the fastest way I knew how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so there won't be any mix-up in February, that's for sure. Oh, my. Yeah, okay. So, we mentioned several activities. What else you got coming up?
Back on the Bird Nest, that program starts at 1 o'clock. There at the Trawlgrass Trail.
Okay, now how far do you walk usually to find a bird's nest?
Well, it's actually funny. We don't actually have to hike very far.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's so many different kinds. I've seen cardinals' nests, the Baltimore Orioles.
How do you identify the nests?
For the most part, most birds use different materials or sometimes different building structure-wise. Okay. Some of them, they look very familiar. So.
What about the Oriole?
The Oriole is probably my favorite bird nest here in Ohio, because they make like a pocket, a little pocket, a little basket, and yet they just have this beak in their feet, and they're able to weave.
Wow.
They'll use spider silk or silk from plant material, and they basically wrap grasses and then make this nice little pocket for the babies to stay in there.
Well, isn't that something?
And the male, he helps out with the building.
And I notice around my area, I've heard the Oriole.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't seen it.
Have you put out oranges, grape jelly?
I tried that once.
Okay.
And nothing happened.
Well, you got to give it time.
I suppose, yeah.
That's definitely the two big things, oranges, grape jelly. And, of course, they do eat seeds. I mean.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll try that again this spring. What is their nesting time?
Their nesting time?
Approximately.
It's usually about June.
Okay. And I'll make sure I've got... You say an orange?
Yeah. What I've seen people do is cut up or slice an orange.
Yeah.
And then nail it to a tree.
Okay. I put mine on a spear, propped it up, and nothing happened.
Oh, okay. Probably the ants got it, right? Ants or other critters.
Could very well be, yes. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What else do I see around? I don't see much around our barnyard anymore.
Okay.
When we had donkeys and other animals... We had more birds.
Oh, yeah.
We had geese, domestic geese.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And we had a lot of the, all those birds with speckled feathers.
Starlings?
No. This is a tame.
Oh, a tame one.
Guineas?
Guinea fowl. Guinea fowl. Yeah, they're the most interesting one.
They sure are. Now, there aren't any wild guineas, are there?
No.
Yeah, they're all domesticated.
Yeah, they're from Africa, originally from Africa.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then we brought them over. If you don't like snakes. And
Charlie, do you remember when Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came to visit us?
Yes, I do. All three times. What a great time we had.
Yes, riding in the popcorn parade twice with him was great.
He made more speedy deliveries that day than the post office does all year.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the man who heads the Marion County Park District, and there are a lot of activities there. Now, you mentioned quite a few, but you have any others coming up?
For the last two for February, our Friends of the Prairie Parks meeting, at 7 o'clock at the Historical Society downstairs at Heritage Hall, and then on the 27th we'll be with you. So
okay, that's good.
And then like we talked about before, if after the Groundhog Day event in Marion County and Morrow County at Headwaters Outdoor Educational Center, that will start at 2 o'clock, and I think it'll end around 4 or so.
Okay.
But it's their groundhog / wildlife tracking, so they have two different kinds of activities.
Okay, I'll be over there at what, 2 o'clock?
Starts at 2.
Well, about 1:30 at the what do you call it, the wildlife center or the educational center?
Headwaters.
Headwaters.
Yep, Headwaters okay. Outdoor Educational Center.
Okay, is there a river that starts around there?
You know, I don't. There could be.
Yeah,
but yeah, it starts right behind the sheriff's station, right off 42.
Right. Yeah, County. Not hard to find at all.
Yep.
First road after the sheriff's department.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
Off of Route 42.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
11:46 is the time. Once again, I'm having a hard time finding anybody who can tell me who invented the eye chart that your favorite optimist uses. And this is for the Ridgedale Lions Club. One ticket. And that ticket will get you in and also get you a dinner. A dinner at 5 with the auction following, and you'll be able to bid on all kinds of different things. Plus, they have, you know, it's NASCAR-oriented. So, any of you guys, apparently your Google isn't working. You can Google and get the answers of what I've asked.
Yeah, sure can.
Okay, James Anderson with us today, and James will be back on February 27th. But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of winter in between here and then.
That's right.
And hope, well...
we'll see what Buckeye Chuck says on Sunday, right?
That's right, yeah. Now, on Sunday, that's his big day.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting. Now, I remember the meteorologist in Columbus that's now currently...
in trouble.
Mike Davis, one time when my groundhog died, and you know, I fixed it up so it looked like he was still alive, and he said on television, "Well, up there in Marion, they got a dead groundhog." I pay back.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. But anyhow, yeah, and I've told this story many times, maybe, that I was once given a groundhog. People called me up. I said I needed the groundhog badly. And they called me up and said, "Well, we've got one in the bucket in our front yard. You can come and pick it up." So I did. And I fed it for a couple of days. But I didn't really see it eating much, if anything. And then the day of the groundhog, the day before, really, a newspaper came down from Bucyrus to take its picture. And I didn't tell them it was dead. And the next day, of course, it got on television as Marion's dead groundhog.
Oh, my. It had to wait just for that day.
That's right. And
perfect timing.
Oh, my. And to think that right where I put it in the woods, there were probably 100 groundhogs here and there.
Probably.
Or, of course, it was cold. You know, a lot of times it's too cold for them to come out.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of them are hibernating still.
Yeah, you wonder how they come up with that date, except that's also in the Catholic religion, Candlemas Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sure is.
That must be why they're using February 2nd.
Yes.
But that date wouldn't hold in Europe and everywhere. Of course, in Europe, they have, what do they have that looks like a groundhog?
There's a hedgehog. But,
hedgehog,
but,
yeah.
But a lot of times they used over there were honey badgers.
Is that... a honey what?
A honey badger. So honey badgers are a little more docile than the American badger.
And
they would use hedgehogs. But then when they came here into the United States, it was a German tradition. And then they saw, okay, we don't have hedgehogs. American badgers, too mean. And then they saw our groundhogs, so they kind of substituted for them.
Interesting, yeah. But chances of it coming out on February 2nd are slim.
Unless it's warm, yeah.
Yeah, unless it's warm, or unless you have one in a cage.
That's right.
Oh, my. But, yeah, I can remember some warm February 2nds when he would already be out.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe even a week before, if it was warm enough. It has to be, down 2 or 3 feet? It has to be down in the upper 30s at least, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So he's got a job ahead of him. and it just might be Sunday will be warm enough.
That's right. Be about 50 degrees.
Yeah, and yes.
I'm kind of excited because I won't have to be out in the cold.
I bet he's excited too. Yeah. I won't have to go out and please those people.
Yeah.
Or if I come out, whatever. 11:51's the time. Now you've got. That's not a baby groundhog.
No, I actually brought squirrels, a couple squirrels.
Oh, really?
Species.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've got a question.
Yes.
That I could. Okay. Skip the eye chart for now. What squirrel is not native to
Ohio?
Yeah. You know, we have all these different squirrels, but which squirrel is not native to Ohio? In other words, he came here from somewhere else.
Yep, came out from Pennsylvania.
Okay, it's not a black squirrel, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
So if you can answer that, I'll give you that ticket.
You've got seven choices because there's seven different kinds of squirrels.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. A couple of choices with you. The black one, the fox squirrel, and the red squirrel.
Yep.
But this one is different.
Yep. It's that.
Is that one right there in front of? No, that's
yes. Yep. It's this one right here.
Okay. I would look at that as a red squirrel.
Nope. This is actually the second largest one.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he's kind of long.
Yes. But actually, that's very funny. The southern flying squirrel is the most common squirrel in Ohio, but a lot of people don't know about it. You know why?
Yeah.
Because guess when they're active? They're active at nighttime.
At night.
They're
oh.
nocturnal, uh-huh. versus our other squirrels are active during the daytime.
Well,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So what squirrel is not native to Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay, now the bobcat. That's native to Ohio, isn't it?
Yeah, it was native to Ohio,
yeah.
And then unfortunately, like we talked about before, people came in, we kicked it out by the 1850s, and then it started coming back in about the 1950s, 1960s.
Yeah. Once we had a lot of garbage. And bobcats probably come around at night going through your garbage can. Well, maybe not, but they like, they'll eat.
Mice, squirrels, rabbits.
Yeah, doesn't have to be alive necessarily.
Yeah, but that's kind of their preference. They like live stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They make it a challenge.
That's right.
Okay, you've got what? You've got the groundhog with you.
Yep.
You've got, what's that thing in your...
So this is probably the most common squirrel you'll see in a city. This is your gray squirrel.
Oh, okay.
So this is one that has been around for a long time. And what's actually funny, when we moved into Ohio, we kind of had to declare war on this guy. Because since they were so a nuisance, in some of the early counties or communities, that you had to turn them to the county clerk.
Their
scalps. You had to kill a minimum of 10, and you can kill, more than that.
Yeah.
But so say you only killed 7, you were charged 10 cents per squirrel that you did not kill. So again, you kill 7, you charge 30 cents. Well, that back then, that was a lot of money.
Wow, we used to have a bounty on other things, too.
Yep, wolves, mountain lions.
Yeah.
And then also, too, with the gray squirrel, because there was such a problem in Columbus or Franklin County, they split the county in half and say who could kill the most squirrels, and whoever got the most won several gallons of whiskey.
Oh, my.
And I think the Columbus Gazette report almost 20,000 squirrels that were killed.
Is that right?
But I did not put a dent in it.
Yeah.
But they said that we were so thick with trees that a squirrel could start in Cincinnati and end in Cleveland without touching the ground.
Good heavens. Now, I notice squirrels are so jumpy. I mean, their movement is so quick.
Yes.
Now, why?
Well, because the big thing is they're trying to kind of confuse predators. I guess that's the easiest way.
Me.
Yeah, because if you're sitting still all the time, a predator like a bobcat or coyote or a fox could sneak up and pounce. Well, if you're constantly moving, that predator's always looking.
Okay,
you get a little confused.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But predators can outmaneuver. Like hawks and owls and bobcats and all.
And that one squirrel, the reddish squirrel there. What
so this
kind?
Is a fox squirrel.
Okay, the fox squirrel.
So
it looks like something ladies used to put around their neck.
It does. Yeah, it gets its name from its long, bushy tail like a fox.
Yeah, right. And talk about bushy tails. foxes. We've got two or three living next door to us.
Oh, you do?
Wild ones, yeah.
Okay, some red foxes.
Yeah, and my, what a bushy tail they've got.
Oh, they do, don't they?
Why would they have such a bushy tail? Can they curl up in there and keep warm?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a blanket.
Yeah,
why? Well, it's funny, squirrels do that too with their tails. They use it as a blanket. They can use it as an umbrella. Sometimes when they're jumping from tree to tree, it helps with balance and also for communication. So when it's flickering up and down, like you've probably seen, they're distressed. They're like, hey, there's danger. I'm upset. We got to be curious. But then if it's nice and long and straight, the squirrel's like, okay, you know, it's calm. There's no danger.
Yeah. Okay, now the other squirrel, is that the one that we're talking about that I asked a question about? And that's okay. If you can tell us now, what's the question again?
Which squirrel is not native to Ohio?
Okay.
So the reason why it's not native to Ohio because it liked more open forests. Well, talked about before, Ohio was very thick with forests. Well, when people came through and opened it up, this particular squirrel said, okay, let's move to Ohio. By 1838, they think the first one was spotted.
Really?
And in eastern Ohio.
Yeah, okay. So. 7403399944, if you know the answer to that. My guest today is James Anderson, who heads up the Marion County Park District. Some of you are not even familiar that we have a park district. We sure do.
Yep.
More activities all the time.
That's right.
James doesn't have much time to just sit around.
That's right.
Wow. Okay. And, boy, we're not getting any guesses on the scroll.
I guess I have to save that.
That Ridgedale ticket till tomorrow, I guess.
There you go.
Sure looks like. So don't forget, that's 18th annual Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 dinner and auction, Saturday, February 15th. And the location is, here's a call. Maybe this is it. Yes, caller, go ahead.
According to Google, it's a fox squirrel.
You're right. Okay, you're right. Yeah, okay.
Well, you guys have had a really interesting program. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, thanks
a lot. Now, are you qualified to win a ticket?
Oh, I don't want a ticket, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
You gave me a smoothie last week. That was the best, Charlie.
Okay, all right.
Oh, smoothie.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
I thought that'd be a tricky one, but I'm glad she found it.
Yeah. What else? Now, Google, you Google bobcat, and it would tell you it's native of Ohio.
Yeah.
But it's probably in other states, too, isn't it?
Yes. And that's actually where most of our bobcats in Ohio are coming from, is from West Virginia. Because they're leaking over. And like bears are coming from West Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, I hope our listeners will have to educate them to look for the spotted lanternfly.
Yes.
And because it could be a terrible thing to happen in Ohio.
Yeah.
And in Pennsylvania, they're just all over the place, especially in around the Berks County area. So thick, they've had to burn them off of trees with blow torches. We don't want that happening here.
No, we don't.
Okay. James will be back February 27th. Mark that down on your calendar. February 27th. And that's going to do it for today, James. It's been fun.
It has. We've talked about a lot.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place.